If you trust people, that's an act of courage. If you're not naive, right? If you're naive, it's an act of stupidity, because you might get bit, and you probably will. And if you're naive and you get bit, you will suffer for it. It'll traumatize you. But if you're not naive and you know you can get bit, then you might ask, well, what should you do with people? And the answer is you should trust them. Not because you're naive and not because they couldn't betray you and not because you don't know that they could betray you, but because if you hold out your hand in trust, then you're inviting the best part of that person to step forward, and that won't happen unless you take that initial step, and that's courage, not naivety. And so to trust someone once your eyes are open, that's an act of courage, and that opens up the world. You can withstand it a fair bit of the catastrophe of life by establishing the proper covenant and by acting in a trustworthy manner and extending your hand to people properly. So then you might say, well, what would be the upside if we really determined to act honestly? What do you think it is that people would be able to do with the world if we stopped acting in a corrupt manner? I mean, what is the upside? Do you think we could, how far back could we push aging, do you think? If we hit it hard for 50 years, could we triple our lifespan? It wouldn't surprise me. You know, all these terrible diseases that beset the planet, we could get rid of them. There's no reason for hunger and starvation. We make enough food. It's like, what would happen if we stopped acting badly? How much better could things get? Well, you start locally, I think. You start with yourself and you start with your family. But what's the assumption here exactly? What is the upper end for humanity? I mean, who's going to say, right? Who's going to say, especially in this day and age, man? There's so many things happening that you can't even comprehend them. What could we do if we put all of our effort into it? Well, you can experiment with that because you can start in your own household. You can start in your own room. And you can make miracles happen in the confines of your own space. There's no doubt about that. All you have to do is try. You'll see that that happens. And people are writing to me and telling me that they're trying this and that that's exactly what's happening. Who knows how tough you are? And maybe you find out by going out to find out how tough you are, right? So you take on a challenge, one that you think you can master, just that's just a bit beyond your grasp, and you master it, and then you're a little tougher, and you think, hey, that worked out pretty well. And so then you're more of a monster. And then you go out and you find another challenge that's even bigger, and you think, well, maybe I can do that too. And all of a sudden you can, and you get a little bit bigger, and God only knows what the limit is of you. Who do you want to be when there's a crisis? Right? Do you want to be the person that everyone can turn to for strength? It's like, why the hell not? Why not that as a goal? That'd be a good goal, because then if there's a crisis, and there will be, it won't be such a bloody crisis, because there'll be someone there that can deal with it. You have to contend with death and suffering, and you have to be ready for it, and you have to be there for the person, because that's all they're going to have. And so there's a goal, man. And in this time of nihilism, you know, it's what's the point of life, people ask. And they're taught that at universities. What's the point of life? Everything's interpretation. Humanity's a cancer on the planet. You know? Well, how about no? How about not that? How about that there's something to us? It does require a leap of faith for you to move into the world, because the world is a catastrophe. Self-evidently, the world is a catastrophe. And so there's every reason for you to assume that you should just sit in your basement and hide from it. But that's not, it doesn't help. It doesn't make things better. And the thing is, perhaps you're not built for that. You're not built to hide. I don't think that people are built to hide. I think it destroys them. It's a really tough thing to understand. Is like, how much trouble would you want there not to be? It's a weird question, right? Because you want to have something to contend with. You want to have something that forces from you the best that you have. And so you have to have real problems. It's something like that. Would you dispense with all your real... You could just lay down on a bed and have pablum infused into your mouth, you know, if all your problems were solved. And so maybe you want difficult problems that you can solve, something like that, because there's some... I don't know what it is about it. There's the overcoming and the growth that comes along with that. There's something about the nobility of the enterprise. You certainly see that when you go about having children, for example, which is the people who don't have kids are happier. And so psychologists who tend to get things wrong, even when they make intelligent discoveries like that one, immediately, some of them, jump to the conclusion that because happiness is the goal, that, well, there's something about children that, you know, make you unhappy, and that's not good. It's like, well, wait a second. Maybe that's the wrong metric. It's like, Of course you're less happy once you have children because you have to worry about them. You know, my neighbor down the street, who's a very smart woman, said to me once, you can only be as happy as your unhappiest child. You know, that's really smart. If having children doesn't make you happy, the answer isn't don't have children. It's like, don't be so stupid about being happy. That's the answer. It's because there's a nobility in the pursuit, right? And of course, now you're responsible. You know, you have a new baby, you think, what the hell is this? And what am I going to do with it? You know, it's like, and then you're done for the rest of your life. You never sleep properly again because you're going to be worried about this creature that you have to take care of. But like, what the hell good are you if you're not doing that or something else equally difficult? Because you just haven't been called out yet unless you take on a responsibility like that. The idea that, you know, that happiness is the purpose of life. It's like, great for happiness, man. If it comes along, you should be thrilled that it's visiting you. But the notion that that's what you should pursue, that's the weakest possible notion. First of all, as soon as something terrible happens to you, you're done. It's like, life is to be happy. It's like, well, now you have cancer. So how's that? How's the happiness thing working out for you now? It's like, life is to be happy. That's not right. The rule is, aim high and get your bloody act together. That's the rule. And establish this contractual covenant with the ultimate ideal, and that will see you through the catastrophes. And that's a much more mature way of looking at life, as far as I'm concerned, because all you have to do is have your eyes half open and you see that the fundamental reality of life is tragedy and suffering. That's inescapable. That doesn't mean that it makes life unbearable or that it makes being something that shouldn't have existed. Right? That isn't what it means, but it means that you have to contend with it and you have to get ready. And the willingness to adopt responsibility for yourself and for others is the precondition for that. And then maybe if you do that properly, then now and then you get some happiness. You know, you can sit at the end of a day and you have half an hour where your conscience is clear and there's nothing that you need to be doing, and you can relax and think, you know, that's all right. Things are okay. And thank God for that. And that's maybe where you get your happiness. Part of the reason that modern people have been able to escape from the catastrophe of tyranny and slavery is because we've agreed to make ourselves our own slaves, right? So instead of owning a slave, you own yourself, in a sense. And so you trot yourself off to work and exploit yourself so that you can stay alive. And maybe it's not something that you want to do, but you've taken on the role of slave in some sense in relationship to your own survival instead of forcing someone else to do it. If everything falls apart around you, There's a couple of things you're going to want. You're going to want someone standing beside you, that's for sure, that you can trust. You're going to want your family around you, and you're going to want them to have your back. And you're going to want to know that you didn't do some goddamn stupid thing to bring all hell down on yourself. And if you're lacking any of those, when that crisis comes, there's a high probability it will flatten you and you won't be able to get up. You know, it does seem to me, you can ask yourself this question, when things collapse around you, how much utility is knowledge of your own moral virtue? It's bad to be laid low, but to be laid low and to know that you were at fault for it, and worse, the things that you did that you knew you did that were wrong brought you there, then I think you have nothing to stand on in that situation. And that's also the circumstances under which I think you're more likely, at least, to be abandoned by people around you. So given that you know that the catastrophe is coming, right, that the tragedy of life will strike you, the question is, well, how do you fortify yourself against that? I've asked myself a lot of questions in the last 8 months, man. I can tell you that. And I'm still asking myself a lot of questions. And I've been conferring with a lot of people, because I had lots of people who were helping me negotiate whatever the hell this is that's happening. And, you know, I could ask them how I was doing, and they would tell me a bunch of things I was doing wrong and some things I was doing right, and I could listen to them. I was asking questions all the time about how the hell I should manage this properly. And, you know, what I was trying to do and what seemed to serve me properly was to figure out how to do it correctly. That was the issue. It's like, I didn't really care what happened, and I guess I really don't care what happens, but I do care if I do it correctly, because I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to screw things up. And that seems to be a reasonable goal for people. I mean, wouldn't you like that as a goal, that you don't screw things up? Because you can't control too, you know, your life isn't fully under your control by any stretch of the imagination, but it might be nice to not have your conscience eating at you saying, look, you know, you had a big opportunity there and you mucked it up because you're weak and blind. and he didn't listen. That's no good. The catastrophe is bad enough, as I said, without you being the bloody source of it.